Hello and welcome to East Valley News. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan, and today we're focusing on news from the towns of Mesa and Apache Junction. Our first story, Mesa takes steps toward major project at Fiesta Mall. Could a stadium be coming? The Mesa City Council approved the creation of a theme park district that could pave the way for a sports stadium at the vacant 80-acre site of the former Fiesta Mall. The property, or portions of it, also were set to be sold to a new owner, according to a development agreement. A statement from the new owner promised a marquee project on the property, although no further details were provided. The Mesa City Attorney made frequent references to a stadium in his presentation to the City Council. The district and the development agreement were approved by the Council on November 26. The theme park district will provide a dedicated financing system and a board made up of city council members and appointed state legislators. It will be called the Palo District. The district is expected to support the redevelopment of what is now known as Fiesta Redefined along Alma School Road and Southern Avenue. The Palo District is only the second theme park of its kind in Arizona and the only one acting and functioning at this time, Jeffrey Robbins, a Mesa Senior Economic Development Project Manager, said. The move marks the first significant step forward for Fiesta Redefined since it received its zoning change in December from Limited Commercial to Infill Development District-2. The development agreement is between Verde Investments and the Palo District. The 80-acre Fiesta site is currently owned by Verde Investments, a development firm owned by billionaire Ernest Garcia II. Garcia is one of the 400 richest people in America and the richest in Arizona, according to Forbes. According to the agreements approved, Verde Investments is poised to sell the property or portions of the property to Palo District LLC, which is managed by Vicky Mayo, according to Arizona Corporation Commission records. Mayo co-owns Valor Global with her husband, Samer Mayo. Valor Global operates call centers internationally. Vicky Mayo is the CEO of Sunny Day Sports. Sunny Day Sports is thrilled Mesa City Council took such an important step in the redevelopment of this cornerstone property. Although it's too early to share details of our plans, theme park district designation allows for us to continue to pursue a marquee project that will make the city and state proud, Mayo said in a written statement. Details of what will be built at the Palo District were unclear. Mesa has long been speculated as the next city to land a sports stadium. The city confirmed in December it was in preliminary talks with Major League Soccer officials. It was speculated that the former Arizona Coyotes eyed the city as a potential home in 2023. Examples throughout a short presentation from city staff to the City Council included renderings of various sports entertainment districts, such as the Honda Center in Anaheim and the Texas Live Entertainment Complex near the Texas Rangers ball field. City elected officials and staff remained tight-lipped about plans but stated the theme park district would help attract businesses with high-impact economic opportunities. In explaining the district's special financing elements during the City Council meeting on November 26, City Attorney Jim Smith made multiple references to a stadium. Council member Francisco Heredia, who represents the area of Fiesta Redefined, said in a written statement that the site stands as a rare redevelopment opportunity in the valley. Importantly, this framework supports progress without exposing the city or taxpayers to financial risk, while helping ensure any future development aligns with Mesa's long-term vision for growth and quality of life, he said. Council members Heredia and Rich Adams were elected to the four-member board. The other two members will be appointed by the Arizona Speaker of the House of Representatives and the Arizona Senate President. Under an Arizona law that passed in 2021, a theme park district has a specific tax structure. It is considered a corporate and political body and has all of the rights, powers, and immunities of municipal corporations, according to state law. It was initially passed with the Arizona Diamondbacks in mind and its use has been criticized by Phoenix Mayor Kate Gallego. In 2024, the state legislature lowered the population threshold to create a district from 1 million people to 500,000. The governing board of the Palo District will have the authority to issue revenue bonds and levy a sales tax on business activity within the district's boundaries. These would be in addition to state and local sales tax. Robbins said landowners could also be exempt from the secondary property tax because Mesa does not have a primary property tax, but it is not automatic. Smith then said if any of the 80 acres were sold from the Palo District, those owners would be subject to the secondary property tax. Robbins said currently, the site produces less than $18,000 in revenue for the city. Who are Vicky and Samir Mayo? The pair own multiple businesses based in Arizona and are active in the development community. They also own Global Market Innovators, which provides cybersecurity services to other businesses. Samir Mayo co-founded Sunday Day Sports in 2020, and Vicky Mayo became the CEO in January, according to their LinkedIn profiles. Sunday Day Sports is a global sports investment firm with assets in the United States, India, South Africa, and Barbados, Samir Mayo wrote on his page. It is also focused primarily on cricket, Vicky Mayo wrote. Samir Mayo's profile also states he has an ownership stake in the Rajasthan Royals, a championship-winning cricket team in the Indian Premier League. The two serve as board members for Greater Phoenix Leadership, a nonprofit organization of business leaders who focus on business, education, philanthropy, and public policy to improve economic vitality and quality of life in the region. Samir Mayo is a board member on the Arizona Commerce Authority, the state's economic development body. Fiesta Mall, once a retail destination in the East Valley, closed its doors in 2019. Verde Investments had over several years slowly acquired the parcels making up Fiesta Mall. The company tore down buildings in July 2023 and spent more than a year working with the city to develop a plan for the project. In December, the City Council unanimously approved the rezoning request from Verde Investments that aimed to reinvent the location into a vibrant community. The broad development plans called for high housing density, high-end retail, and open green space for residents. Verde Investments closed on the final 34 acres of land for $24 million in March. The theme park district designation does not affect the property's zoning designation, Ana Perea, a city spokesperson, said. And that story was Mesa takes steps toward major project at Fiesta Mall. Could a stadium be coming? The next story, 300-unit, three-story, multifamily rental community before Apache Junction Council, December 2. A 300-unit, three-story, multifamily residential affordable housing rental community with rents $1,262 for a one-bedroom unit to $1,950 for a four-bedroom unit, including utilities, is planned in Apache Junction. The project will use the Section 42 Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Program, which allows developers to offer affordable housing to residents earning up to 60% of the area's median income. A conditional use permit request by Roars Companies, represented by Greg Davis of Iplan Consulting, will be discussed at the 7 p.m. Tuesday, December 2 meeting of the Apache Junction City Council in the Council Chambers, 300 East Superstition Boulevard. The Apache Junction Planning and Zoning Commission on October 28 voted 4-1 to recommend the Council approve the permit, with Commissioner Sandra Mikeland voting no. Commissioners Ari Callan and Nicholas Kelly were absent. The proposal is consistent with the city's general planned land use goals for multifamily living to support the downtown business community, senior planner Nick Leftwich told the commission prior to the vote. The primary entrance will be on the property's south side with a shared access on Idaho Road. A right-only emergency gate on Idaho Road is planned, he said. The applicant is also providing plenty of on-site amenities, Leftwich said. There is open space with tot lots, there is a clubhouse, dog park, open spaces, a community pool. A multi-use trail is planned outside the community wall on Idaho Road and Scenic Street that connects to the more rural area of the city to the east, he said. A market-rate multifamily apartment development is planned. Davis of iPlan Consulting told the commission prior to the vote, "Our density is about 22 units per acre. The zoning district allows up to 40, so we're well under that. The height limitation is 60 feet. We're building three stories, which comes out to be a little less than 40 feet, so we're compliant with that requirement as well," he said. Western-style elements such as the vertical board and batten, like a barn, and corrugated steel, like from a trough out in a field, have been added to the building, Davis said. "We've been through a few iterations trying to get the magic clue of what Western architecture is. We met with the council. Everyone had a different opinion of what that might look like," he said. "I think what the architects drew upon is there are a lot of different elements that feel Western, and we may not be able to make a three-story apartment building look Western, but we can certainly introduce a lot of those elements to these buildings." Bellaflor Enterprises, LLC, is the owner of the 13-acre development near the southeast corner of Idaho Road and the Scenic Street alignment. The development plan proposes 14 three-story buildings. The residential units will include 48 one-bedroom, one-bath, 132 two-bedroom, two-bath units, 84 three-bedroom, two-bath units, and 36 four-bedroom, two-bath units. Parking is to include 370 surface spaces and 300 covered parking stalls. The buildings are clustered around community open space areas or along the perimeter, including along Idaho Road, it states in a written project narrative from iPlan Consulting. The single-story office clubhouse structure is off the project entrance in the southwest portion of the property. A small, single-story maintenance building is also planned in the northwest corner of the property, it states. The primary duties of the Planning and Zoning Commission include community contact regarding items including a zoning change request to an application from a developer for a shopping center development or housing project. Also included are conditional use permits, with the final decision being handled at the Planning and Zoning Commission level, according to the city's website. And that story was 300-unit, three-story, multifamily rental community before Apache Junction Council, December 2. The next story, man's death during traffic stop on U.S. 60 causes hours-long delay. A man accused of crimes against children died after an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound during a traffic stop by Mesa detectives on the U.S. 60, causing an hours-long closure, according to police officials. Detectives spotted 42-year-old Justin Merritt driving on the U.S. 60 near Silly Mountain Road in Apache Junction on November 25, and they conducted a traffic stop at about 2:30 p.m., according to a Mesa Police news release sent November 26. Police had developed probable cause to arrest Merritt on suspicion of serious felony crimes, following a call for service at about 3 p.m. November 24 in the 10,000 block of Juanita Avenue, the news release stated. Information about that call was not immediately available. Once Merritt's vehicle stopped, he did not respond or get out despite multiple verbal commands from police, officials said in the release. SWAT officers with an armored vehicle were requested to help with the arrest. Police removed Merritt, who had died, from the driver's seat of the vehicle and discovered he had a handgun. A preliminary investigation indicated Merritt died from an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head, according to Mesa Police. And that story was man's death during traffic stop on U.S. 60 causes hours-long delay. You're listening to East Valley News on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Today we are covering Mesa and Apache Junction, and I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. The next story, 11 businesses, organizations in 2025 Jingle in the Junction decorating contest. 11 area businesses and organizations are participating in the 2025 Jingle in the Junction decorating contest. Cast your vote for the business that lights up the Apache Junction community with the most holiday spirit in 2025, November 29 to December 17 at https://forms.gle/4AUA2ZW4HTUAWG736. Only one vote per email will be counted, it states at the website. Participating businesses and organizations are Apache Junction Area Chamber of Commerce, 567 West Apache Trail, Avista Apache Junction, 675 West Broadway Avenue, Dashing Groomer, 1075 South Idaho Road, number 214, Handlebar Pub and Grill, 650 West Apache Trail, Horizon Health and Wellness, Earth Heart Park Garden Club, 625 North Plaza Drive, Maggie's Lounge, 100 North Plaza Drive, Mozzie Fox Salon, 850 South Ironwood Drive, Suite number 106, Sunny D Sweet Treats, 1075 South Idaho Road, number 103, Toast Geo's, 1422 East Broadway Avenue, Twisted Treats Food Truck, check Facebook for upcoming locations, and VFW Post 7968 and Auxiliary, 250 South Phelps Drive. That story was 11 Businesses Organizations in 2025, Jingle in the Junction Decorating Contest. The next story, One Errant Text, 10 Thanksgivings, is an unlikely AZ duo still meeting? Checking to see what Arizona residents Wanda Dench and Jamal Hinton are doing this year for Thanksgiving is as much a holiday tradition for many Americans as breaking a wishbone. The unlikely friendship that began with a holiday dinner text invite sent to an unintended recipient and then flourished over time will be marked this year by a 10th Thanksgiving reunion. In November 2016, Dench texted a grandson about Thanksgiving dinner plans, but a then 17-year-old Jamal Hinton, who had the young man's old phone number, replied to the message by asking if he could join in on that year's turkey grub. A lot has happened over the past 9 years since the first of what will now be 10 Thanksgivings. Now, every December, Dench and Hinton continue to garner attention from national news media following a tweet that went viral. Hinton, now 26, ventured into different businesses and has for years been in a long-term relationship. Dench, 68, lost her husband of 43 years, Lonnie Dench, in 2020 due to COVID-19. And she was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2024 after having moved to Prescott Valley the year before. The former Mesa resident told the Arizona Republic she is residing in Metro Phoenix once again after completing chemotherapy this time last year and radiation in January. Being back down in the valley again, it's kind of exciting. It's like old home for me around here, Dench said ahead of this year's holiday. Dench, who relocated to Gilbert to be closer to family, shared the traditions she still holds on to from before she and Hinton became holiday mainstays themselves for millions across the country. Thanksgivings with Dench feature a round-the-table sharing of what each dinner attendee is most thankful and hopeful for. To avoid spreading COVID-19 during Thanksgiving 2020, the dinner party was limited. That year, a recently widowed Dench was accompanied by her daughter, the grandson she had intended to text in 2016, Hinton, and his girlfriend. But there was also a space set aside for a photo of her husband alongside a candle and a dinner plate. We never know when we're going to lose loved ones, she said. It's very emotional on that particular Thanksgiving. A typical Thanksgiving for Dench begins with watching the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade broadcast from New York. Televised football games in the living room are another holiday fixture for Dench, even if, as she admitted, no one is tuning in. The TV's on whether you want to watch it or not, she said. Traditional Thanksgiving fare abounds in Dench's kitchen. My personal favorite is the relish trays. Oh, I love sweet pickles and pickled beets and olives, she said. This year, Thanksgiving dinner between Dench and Hinton will be at his family's home. That stinker got out of cooking, she said, jokingly, of Hinton. For all the traditions Dench has carried on year after year for Thanksgiving, and as evidenced by her and Hinton's ever-growing friendship, she is open to new things. This year, she looks forward to following up her dinner with Hinton by visiting the home of her older grandson. There'll be new things for me at my grandson's house because his wife is Navajo, she said. They cook a lot of the Navajo traditional foods, the fry bread. I have no doubt that kind of food will be there as well. And that story was One Errant Text, 10 Thanksgivings, is an unlikely AZ duo still meeting? The next story, Gold Canyon Community Inc., keeping its eyes on the future. Gold Canyon Community Inc. hosted its year-end HOA summit in November at Tressa's Theater on Kings Ranch Road. neighborhood and business leaders, civic service representatives, and Pinal County officials join together for updates and discussion on major issues which impact our community. Fire Chief John Whitney outlined the 2026 Superstition Fire and Medical District Plan and noted that the department will end the current year with over 9,000 incident response calls and an average response time of only 4.38 minutes. Jim Maxwell of Mountain Brook Village updated his neighborhood's extensive progress in fire safety, joining Superstition Mountain Country Club and Superstition Foothills as a fire-wise community. Pinal County Supervisor Jeff Surdy discussed three planned potential developments in the surrounding area: the Silver King Solar Farm, he opposes, in the Florence Junction Elbow, Resolution Copper's pending bid for a manufacturing location in the same area for slurry evaporation beds, and a Castilian hypersonic missile manufacturing and testing internal facility proposal expected to soon hit his desk. GCCI board member Isabel Peterson noted the ongoing success of her Dark Skies initiative being integrated into the Pinal County revised codes. She reiterated that the goal is glow versus glare, using warm, shielded light to avoid harmful light pollution. Pinal County engineer Chris Wanamaker announced that traffic safety and flooding issues at the Maverick-Walgreens intersection will be remedied in early 2026. Maverick's opening date depends on final authorization by the county. Michael McCarty, HOA president of Superstition Mountain Country Club, reported that ADOT's design for a second eastbound lane at the intersection of U.S. Highway 60 and Superstition Mountain Drive will be completed mid-2026. Implementation remains a question. Wanting a faster track on this project, the GCCI board is working with State Senator Wendy Rogers to submit a legislative bill to expedite funds and action. Scott Hamilton, Director of Pinal Open Spaces and Trails, and Liz Langenbach, Director of Apache Junction Parks and Recreation, discussed their team effort to create a county master plan for the connectivity of multi-use trails. Bottom line, the Gold Canyon is faced with diverse issues that beg the question: how do we balance impending growth with our quality of life? GCCI will continue to be proactive throughout 2026 in bringing current and future issues to the attention of the community and promoting resolutions. To join the GCCI board as a team member or volunteer, a board member or volunteer, call or text Jerry Stevenson at 206-290-0173. Visit us online at gccincaz.org. And that story was Gold Canyon Community Inc. keeping its eyes on the future. The next story, Doreen Taylor's Mesa election win signals shift in city politics. Chants of USA, USA, USA rang out throughout a packed Mesa City Council chambers as Doreen Taylor was sworn in as the newest council member on November 17. Taylor won a recall election weeks earlier that forced former council member Julie Spilsbury out of her seat. She won the seat by 762 votes, according to the final tally. The special recall election had exceptional turnout for an off-cycle year, with nearly 40% of registered voters in the district casting a ballot. It had a larger turnout than when Spilsbury was elected to her second term in July 2024. Taylor will represent District 2, which covers the central east areas of the city, for the remaining term. That term will end in 2029. Mesa's first recall election marked a shift in city politics. Mesa has never been immune from controversy, but its leaders traditionally deal with it in measured, understated ways, rather than publicly visible showdowns, as is more common these days in neighboring Gilbert or Scottsdale. But Taylor's election signaled a swing toward more combative and blatantly partisan politics, many longtime local political operators said during the campaign. About 200 Mesa residents attended the ceremony, many of whom donned Make America Great Again hats to support Taylor. In her first remarks from the dais, Taylor thanked God and recited a Bible scripture. "I stand here deeply humble and profoundly grateful. This moment is not mine alone. It belongs to an extraordinary community of people who believed in a vision for Mesa and chose to step forward with conviction and courage," she said. She also thanked the conservative political organization Turning Point Action for its help in her campaign. The organization helped bankroll the recall election by paying for campaign signs and flyers. When asked what her relationship with Turning Point going forward would be like, she stated she did not know what it would look like. "I don't have an answer for you," she said. A main talking point throughout her campaign included criticism of the city's non-discrimination policy, which her campaign flyers called radical transgender policies. She said that was a talking point that I definitely will adhere to. It's something she will want to look at again and share with the full council her district's desire to get feedback and how to move forward with it, she said. She said communication will be key for her to better understand what her future votes as a council member should look like to represent her district residents. "I'm anxious to get started to do the job," Taylor said. Mayor Mark Freeman welcomed Taylor and thanked District 2 voters for their participation in this special election, recall election, in a statement released later. "I look forward to continuing to elevate Mesa with our city council and the support of city leadership as we focus on the priorities that matter to our community: public safety, strong neighborhoods, economic opportunity, education, and workforce development," he said in the statement. Taylor is originally from Florida and moved to Mesa in 2008. She has a Bachelor of Science degree in psychology from the University of Phoenix. Taylor previously worked as a business analyst and training coordinator for an East Coast-based school and later a local automotive company. In January, a group of residents launched a petition to recall Spilsbury from her seat, citing a trio of yes votes, including raising utility rates, approving the transition of a hotel into a homeless housing program, and increasing council salaries. Two of these votes took place before Spilsbury's re-election in August, which she won with 65% of the vote in her district. The real crux of the outrage against Spilsbury was her endorsement of Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris in the presidential election last November. Spilsbury is a registered Republican. In June, the group had retained sufficient signatures required to get the measure on the ballot. In July, the Mesa City Council was obligated to call the special election. And this story was, Doreen Taylor's Mesa election win signals shift in city politics. Remember that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand at sunsounds.org/broadcastinfo and audio/on-demand. You can also take Sun Sounds with you by getting our streaming and on-demand service on our Sun Sounds of Arizona app for Apple and Android phones. And you can hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. This has been East Valley News covering Mesa and Apache Junction. I'm your volunteer reader, Dan Kaplan. Now stay tuned for more excellent content on Sun Sounds of Arizona.